This is the User Adoption Podcast with your host, Henrik Dagier.
Who are you and what do you do?
Hi, I'm Dr. Barbara Troutline. I'm creator of the CQ system for developing change intelligence, as in, you know, your IQ, intellectual quotient. You probably have heard of EQ or emotional intelligence. I talk about CQ or change intelligence, which I believe is a critical competency for all leaders in all industries in the 21st century.
Barbara, how are you involved with user adoption?
That's actually why I created my concept of change intelligence, is due to the high failure rate of change. I started in business in the 80s, and at that time, John Cotter and his colleagues at Harvard did studies that showed that the failure rate of major organizational change, be it technology implementations or mergers, acquisitions, new product, new service launches, has a failure rate of upwards of 70% or more. And then fast forward 20 years into my career, McKinsey & Consulting did a similar study and came up with a similar statistic. So in the span of a couple decades, we had not moved the needle on our ability to design and implement change that sticks. And one of the critical failure factors, reasons for the high failure rate of change, is due to lack of user adoption, which I believe is also known often as resistance to change. And so that's why I developed my concept of change intelligence.
What are the biggest challenges and successes with user adoption?
I believe that what so often happens when we want to lead change, when we want to encourage users to adopt new processes, new technologies, new services, new methodologies, so often we start off with the best intentions. We have the best intentions. We believe in the new. And what we so often find is that we feel like we are getting resistance. That's the number one topic in the change management literature, is resistance to change. Users are not adopting the new way. And it starts feeling like we're doing something to or in spite of or against other people instead of with and for them. And as I like to say, when we feel like we're encountering resistance in other people, that's really an opportunity for us as change leaders, instead of continuing to push and force and have this mindset that we're attempting to overcome resistance, we're attempting to force user adoption to something to users, what's the only thing we can control? The only thing we control is ourselves. So when we feel like we're not getting user adoption, we're getting resistance, we have the opportunity to turn the mirror back on ourselves and look at what looks like resistance in other people, what is the reasons that users are not adopting, as a powerful source of information that we as leaders, and I think we're all leaders regardless of tenure, title, or role, that we can use to do something differently ourselves. So it's the opportunity to reframe what looks like resistance from enemy to ally. I believe that the biggest challenges with user adoption is when we feel like we're getting resistance and we push and force. So what we know from the neuroscience of change is that to our brain, very literally, change equals pain. When neuroscientists put electrodes on people's brains and they study what happens when they introduce a change, the same neuroreceptors fire as when we feel physical pain. So the insight there is that resistance, lack of adoption, lack of change, is normal and natural. It's how our brains operate, normal and natural. Even the most change-friendly among us have that initial reaction. And what happens when we are in pain, when we're in fear, we're in threat mode? Well, we go into fight, flight, or freeze mode. All the good stuff, the oxygen, the glucose, goes out of our brain, past our neck, so we can, you know, get our heart pumping, our lungs breathing, our muscles going. We get in that fight, flight, freeze mode. So all the good stuff, the oxygen and the glucose, goes out of our brain. So just when we need it most, we lose our IQ points. Literally, change makes us dumber. And so I think the challenges are that how can we, as change leaders, put our own oxygen mask on first, right? And I believe that's what change intelligence helps us does, recognize that what's going on with our users is a very normal and natural reaction. That's a typical challenge that we have in change. And recognize that, look at that, what we see as their resistance, and reframing that, again, from enemy to ally, that's where the success comes in, when we can disentangle what is the source of the resistance. Is it, I see it often as people either don't get it, don't want it or just can't do it. They don't get it. That's the intellectual type of resistance. And if that's what we're seeing, then the opportunity for us as a leader to do something differently is what I say to add more head. Talk about the vision and the strategy. Paint the picture for people in terms of the what and why of the change. Draw that line of sight. Sometimes people get it, but they don't want it. That's the emotional, affective source of resistance. They might fear loss. They might fear lack of confidence. They might fear that it's going to damage some relationships that they have. They might be afraid of it, fear it, not want it from an emotional level. That's an opportunity for us as a change leader, as I say, to add more heart, to explore their emotions, get under the surface what looks like resistance, talk about their fears, talk about their hopes, and really engage them in the change process. Participate, listen, two-way feedback, build team, build trust. And finally, sometimes people get it and they even want it, but they just can't do it. That's the third source of change challenge around user adoption, is that people might have had one-time training or gotten a quick reference guide, but what they really need is more practice, or they need more coaching and more hand-holding. We check the box, we're efficient, we really weren't effective. Or sometimes they've had the training, they've had the coaching, however, there's barriers standing in the way in the system that are preventing good people from adopting. So I always say, you put a good person against a bad system, the system's going to win every time. So how can we look at the I can't do it change challenge source of resistance as an opportunity, again, for us to give people the tools and the training and the coaching and remove barriers that are getting in their way? So that's what I see the bottom line challenge with user adoption, is really disentangling what is the source of that lack of adoption? What is that source of that resistance? And then being able to, as the leader, turn that around, partner with people so we can engage for change, and that's where you get the success.
What advice would you like to share with people working on improving user adoption?
Again, what can we control? We can only control ourselves and our mindsets and our behaviors. So again, I encourage people to really reframe resistance from enemy to ally. Look at it as a powerful source of information that we can use to do something differently as change leaders. And I talk about that from the head and the heart and the hands perspective, which again is very easy for people to remember. And sometimes people say, tell me, this is very simple, but it's simple because it's memorable. And when we really think about the sources of lack of adoption and sources of resistance, we can often disentangle it down to one of those three issues or a combination of them. So it's, again, it's simple, but it's actionable because it points to specific things that we can do as a leader. Put our own oxygen mask on, right? You know, breathe, get that, you know, creative space going. Because when we also know that when we're under stress, fear, threat, and change, even the most change-friendly among us, it can get us in that mode. What do? We go to our dominant responses. We go to our dominant responses, and we put ourselves and others in a painful position. And so some of us do tend to lead more from the heart, more from the, you know, people side of change, engaging, communicating, listening, involving. Some of us do tend to lead more from the head. We like to focus on the vision and the strategy and the exciting possibilities of the change. And some of us do focus on the hands, really getting, making it real in the field, executing the change, making it happen, being very planful and intentional. When we get under stress, we tend to do more of our strength, right? And that, again, when you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. It's the opportunity to say, what am I seeing? What am I doing as a leader? What am I seeing in the people? What am I seeing in the users? And how can I shift my strategy, intentionally shift my behavior, so I can engage for change and not unintentionally cause resistance in others? So that would be the one piece of advice in terms of improving user adoption, is it starts with us as leaders.
Barbara, where can we learn more about user adoption and your work on the subject?
You can learn more about my work on the subject at my website, which is changecatalyst.com. So change and catalyst with an S.com. There you can download 2 free copies of my book, Change Intelligence. You can download case studies that talk specifically about how leaders, teams, and organizations have built their change intelligence to facilitate user adoption and adoption of many transformational changes. And then also there are additional free resources that are available for you to use.
Well, thanks, Barbara.
For more on this, visit useradoptionpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out useradoptionbook.com. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.